gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're here to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, August 23rd, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
It's a beautiful day. It's hot, but it's beautiful. I had a wonderful trip myself to see my granddaughter in Kansas City. I got back late last night. That's why I'm here today with you. So I'm glad to be with you today.
Well, I'm glad. And the listeners are happy, too.
Well, I hope so. I really do.
Yeah. Don't worry. Be happy. So we're all happy.
I hear you.
So. Yes, so I'm glad you were safe on your trip. Glad you made it back okay. And gold today was back up a little bit, up $24, back up over 18 at 18.06. Silver was up 60 cents at $23.71. Platinum was up 24 also at 1,024. Palladium was up 113 at 2,471. The USDX today was up. Oh, I'm sorry, was down 0.50 at 92.98. The USDX down 0.50 at 92.98. Crude oil was up $3.30, 3.30,
wow.
$65.44. Paper markets today, the Dow, they rallied to start the week. The NASDAQ closes at a record after Pfizer vaccine was approved. But we'll start with the Dow. It was up 215 points at 35,335. The S&P was up 37 at 4,479. NASDAQ was up 227 at 14,942. 10-year yield was 1.25, not too much change there, down a little bit, but not by much. Europe was positive across the board. Asia was positive across the board. The world's in a happy place, Butch.
I hear you. I am, too. The gold back up a little bit and heading the right direction.
How about that? Yes.
How about that?
So everything is in the green today. The only thing negative was the USDX and so, you know, we'll just have to see how it folds out, you know. I don't know. It's just getting crazier and crazier. You know, there's all the do's and don'ts. So things are going back to, I was reading today that they were now beginning to bundle home mortgages and sell and include in the bond trades. I mean, and that's exactly what they did back in 2000, you know, prior to 2008. So it's, you know, they just go back to what worked before to keep everything going and then to eventually collapse. And this week, I started earlier today, I was reading the Credit Bubble Bulletin, his article. And it really was good because he goes back and starts talking about bubbles, how they're self-reinforcing, yet inevitably unsustainable inflation. And he goes talk. So folks need to sign up for our weekly newsletter because this will be in there. It really is interesting because, you know, it's bubbles at their core are mechanisms of wealth redistribution and destruction. You know, we hear this all the time about how the wealth is being redistributed. Well, these are bubbles at work. And this is what you have to understand, and this is part of what makes it temporary, or this is what makes it that, you know, they'll bubbles just get bigger and bigger and
mm-hmm.
bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they become, you know, they go to the extremes, unimaginable extremes. And, you know, and it's when we get to those extremes, that's usually when someone pops a bubble. And it never is very pleasant once one of those bubbles are popped. And so make sure you sign up for our newsletter, dgscoins.com, and sign up for the weekly newsletter. It is by internet only. We don't do any hard copies or anything like that, but bubbles make everything seem like everything is okay. everybody gets a little bit of the bubble, and it covers up everything, and it makes everything look nice and cozy and warm, and it's just a matter until it collapses, Butch.
It is, and I wonder what made the crude oil prices go up so quickly, but I guess caused the trouble in the Middle East with Afghanistan?
I mean, it could be. Maybe it's a knee-jerk reaction. Maybe it was some of the news that made it drop to begin with, and that's just going back up to where it's supposed to be.
I don't know. I just know the prices on fuel between states is sometimes quite remarkable, sometimes as much as 50 cents a gallon change in the prices. That's there's got to be more to that than just the price of oil, obviously. It must be taxation, of course, different things. But to hear it went up $3 and something like that, that's quite a jump. That's a huge jump.
Yeah, it rose the most in 9 months, mainly along with the market rebound. Things are getting better. Some of the reports are saying that the concerns with China's wealth crackdown is easing. You know, investors are kind of rushing back into the paper markets. So I don't know.
Well,
so
I don't know either.
There really isn't any answers.
No, there really isn't. Nothing makes any sense any longer. There's nothing that really comes together. You know, years ago you could make sense out of some things, but now that everything is such a mismatched mess that I can't put two and two together any longer. It doesn't come out like it used to. Used to be where the dollar went down, the gold went up, or vice versa, and the markets went something happened in a worldwide event, the markets went down in response to that. Nothing seems to really mate any longer, make it come together.
Well, no, I mean, and it's all with the news that we have the online immediate access to all of this stuff, too. And you're right. But I think with all the algorithms and the computer trading and everything like that, yeah, you're not going to have, you know, the immediate response to various things. It's going to be over more of a longer period of time. And their ability to manipulate the markets, they offset, you know, when you should have some sort of reaction, they just offset it. They soft shoe it, they soft pedal it, you know. So, you know, there isn't as much emotional trade, I don't believe, that we once had before. I mean, it was if something bad happened, you reacted emotionally and you made the changes. Well, you don't have that going on anymore. But to me, that's worse. Because does everybody forget? Has everyone forgotten 2020 in March? The markets were falling 3,000 a day, 2,000 a day, 1,000 a day, 3,000 a day. Has everybody forgotten about that? Because that's what happened. When you take out the emotion and you don't have the regular ups and downs in a normal market, then you have bigger swings. They can keep it going higher, but you're going to have bigger drops when it does happen.
That's very true. Very true. And that bundling the mortgages again, that's really, if they do it and keep it up, they're going to make the same mistake they did back in 2008. But, you know, it didn't make any difference to them. They were bailed out anyway. What they care? I mean, what they had to lose? We always suffer. They don't.
Oh, they don't lose anything. They just make tons of money.
That's exactly right. So why should they worry about it? But nothing I said didn't make any sense. I mean, we're not learning from the past. That's obviously true. I just read today about when Nixon took us off the gold standard for the world money exchange and what's happened to the economy since then. I can remember right when that happened, clear back in the 70s, Melody, inflation went through the roof. There were the price freezes, and I mean, the federal government put price freezes on different things, wholesale prices and retail prices. It didn't work. It couldn't work. Just because they freeze the price doesn't mean that the value of the goods coming in is any cheaper. Somebody's got to pay it. So we never seem to learn from that. And all we've done now is change it from one source to the other and trying to juggle the balls till one of them collapses or spin the plates till they start falling. That's all we've done. And they're getting pretty wobbly, in my opinion. The plates aren't going to spin much longer because there's things coming out now with this new so-called variant. That's starting to cause a lot of concerns to people economically. And worldwide, the unrest is unbelievable. We'll discuss that more in a little bit. But the unrest everywhere, not just with the Afghanistan and the Middle East, and what's happened there in the UK, and even Russia getting involved, but for the riots and everything over the COVID passports and vaccines. I mean, now that the FDA said the vaccines are safe, there's going to be a whole lot more stuff turned loose. And I do look for this to increase in this country as far as more riots. And God help us, I don't want any violence, but that's probably inevitable. It's already happened in Australia. Cops are getting hurt and people are being arrested. And it's coming, something's coming to a head. And on top of the COVID, the financial situation is not getting any better. And I'm going to share in a minute why you can't get everything out of a grocery store any longer. If you've been in a grocery store lately, it's a thing to find orange juice. You may have it, you may not. I mean, that's just the way it is. You may have what you're going there for, and you may not have what you're going there for. What we used to take for granted is something always being there. It's no longer that way. And I don't look for it to get better.
You know, I went in, you know, I've been talking about the supply system being broken, the supply chain being broken since early 2020, ever since we started going into lockdown and so forth. And I went into a furniture store this weekend, just walking around and so forth and whatnot, past some time. 8 months to get things.
8 months.
And in fact, there was another item there that they wouldn't have delivery until 2023.
Oh, my.
It was a particular fabric, sunbrella. And the first deliveries that they had said would be able to, they would only begin shipping on past orders was October of 2022. So that means if you ordered anything today, you wouldn't get it until 2023.
Wow. Well, you know, we're not used to that here in this country.
You can't tell me that this isn't having an effect.
Of course it is. But we're not used to it here. We've had everything instantly, and we've had plenty. As a whole, no one has done without. Although I was in Kansas City, sitting in a corner with my son and daughter-in-law, and two of my grandsons and granddaughter, and Marcia and I were having dinner at a nice restaurant. And I watched some people in the street, and one lady come by. I was a homeless lady. I looked like carrying bags and stuff off her shoulder, and her head was bent over like, I don't know if she can lift it or she's ashamed to lift it. I don't know. But I got thinking, here I am sitting here stuffing my face with a big salad, and this lady walking around the streets homeless. Whether she wants to or not, I don't even know about that. But I think we're going to see a lot more of this meal. We saw this back in the early 2000s. Remember the people living in tents and under bridges in cities and never had a problem before? We're going to see this increase. More people are going to be homeless whether they want to be or not. And I don't want to see that, but it is coming because this country has been turned into at least a second-class country, so to speak, and we're seeing the shortages starting to show up, and it's going to get worse. I don't want to scare people. I'm just trying to warn the people. This article says why you can't find everything you want in the store, at the grocery stores. Grocery store chains are still battling supply challenges that some executives said are as bad as what they saw in the spring of 2020 when hoarding left holes in stocks of some supplies. Industry executives say new problems are rising weekly, driven by shortages of labor and raw materials. Groceries, including frozen waffles and beverages, remain scarce as some food companies anticipate drug disruptions lasting into 2022. A wider range of products is running short, and the logistical challenges are compounding for many retailers. Donnie Rose, chief executive of Louisiana-based Rose's Markets, said that he is struggling to fill shelves as the company runs low on everything from pet food to canned goods. Now listen to this. The chain of more than 60 supermarkets is sometimes receiving as low as 40% of what it orders. Before it was 90%. It's difficult for customers to get everything they want to get, said Mr. Rouse, R-U-S-E, grandson of the chain's founder. So when you place an order, you're lucky to get, get 40% of what you ordered, which means the shortages are on the shelves. And again, I'm not used to that. You're not used to that. We went in supermarkets, anything you wanted, you bought before, is almost always there. It's so rare something won't be there. But now it's going to be a commonplace. And when orders are cut back over half of what you're ordering, that's not a good sign, is it?
No, it isn't.
And prices. are getting higher and higher and higher. Even I'm shocked to pull up to a fast food place. They're paying $13 to $15 an hour now just for somebody to flip a hamburger. I'm not knocking the higher wages. What I'm saying is that just caused more inflation. Somebody's going to pay for that, and it's not going to be the company. It's going to be the one that buys the hamburgers. Now, that's the way it is. And folks, whether you like it or not, that doesn't change it. It doesn't change it. When we see these things come together like that, we should just be able to start put the puzzle together in our mind that things are not what they ought to be and not like they used to be. And there will be again. Any comments on that, Melody?
Nope.
You know, it's just the way it is. And next article is finding workers is harder than ever. The economic impact could be significant, no doubt. Many of the experienced machinists at Gear Motions, a company Barrels runs in Syracuse, New York, took early retirement during the pandemic, and finding replacements has not been easy. We're not just competing against other manufacturers, Barrels says. We're competing against the McDonald's, the Amazons. So it becomes challenging to try to position yourself as a company that people want to come to work for. Barrels has boosted wages by 20%. And again, folks, that will come down to the people that buy the materials. And he's offering to train less experienced workers, but it's still a struggle to find people, especially for the second shift, which stretches until 3 a.m. Dean Barrels runs Gear Motions, which makes precision gears machines. He has had to turn down some orders because he can't find enough workers. As a result, Barrels has been telling customers they might have to wait longer for the special gears this company makes for cars, oil field pumps, and medical devices. He's even turned down some orders out of concern he won't be able to deliver. We don't want to risk our reputation because we can't find employees to be able to produce a product. That scenario is being repeated across many industries. The business has struggled to fill a record number of job openings. American Airlines is forced to trim its flight schedule this summer. Theme parks have had to limit their hours. And restaurants are keeping the doors closed on 1 or 2 days a week. That's weighing on the broader economic recovery. The Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta estimates staffing shortages are costing U.S. businesses more than $60 billion a month in lost sales. That is nothing to sneeze at all. Nothing to sneeze at. And again, as the prices go up, so do what you pay for the goods, my friends. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Ellie, you still with me?
Well, I am, and you know what? It's just not, there's so many things that prices are going to go up. I mean, yes, the lower dollar prices are going to go up. That's true inflation. But you're also going to see when you have these multinational corporations, when their taxes rise, all of that's going to be passed down to the consumer. So the consumer is going to get whacked, not just with the regular weaker dollar inflation, because that's what real inflation is, but with all the other expenses that are going to come floating on down, because we know one thing, the wealth never passes down.
That's right.
The only thing that we have is a break that we're going to can't get out of that one. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And heading into the break, that was a quick break, too.
Yes, it was. This flying by. It is.
I know. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, really.
So we were talking about higher prices, how everything is going to come down to the consumer. I don't know what happens to consumers buy things when they have to wait 8 months or longer for a product and you have to pay for it up front.
Well,
I don't know, Butch. I didn't. I wasn't going to give them half of my money and have to wait 8 months for something.
I guess it depends on how bad somebody needs something and how unique it is. Can you find it somewhere else, or can it make do with something else? I mean, that's, you know, you do what you got to do.
Well,
you know, I mean,
from
that's
my
just
understanding,
it is.
It's everything.
Well, it is going to be everything eventually, no doubt. It was talking about
the supply chain. Things are not coming in from Asia. I mean, that's where we get everything, all the furniture and everything else. That's where it comes from. And so it goes back to the whole thing. Are they hoarding? Are they doing this intentionally? I mean, I think you have something on the chips, don't you?
We do. We'll get that in a few minutes. I sure do.
Yeah. So is there really a chip shortage?
You know, that's something that you never really know. If you're not on the inside, you never know for sure.
Or are they just hoarding and creating the problem?
That's very possible. Very possible. We were talking about, you know, the price is going up and because people are raising wages. But fast food wages went up at least 10%, said, over the last quarter this year. And again, that comes down to the price of the burger you're going to pay. It said turnover rates are also higher than pre-pandemic levels, according to that report, putting even more pressure on the restaurants. Restaurants and, of course, fast food and all these are really hurting. The rate for limited service turnover was 144% in June. Imagine that. Up from 135 in 2019. Full service restaurant turnover rate was 106%. That's amazing. Snag-a-job surveys find that 20% of workers have left the restaurant industry because they have better paying jobs or they go to different places. But nonetheless, they raised the wages 10%, which means the cost of food going up 10%. If you pay a dollar for something, you're going to pay $1.10 for it because the businesses can't absorb all that. You can't expect them to. They're there to make a profit. That's all there is to it. There's no way around it. They got to make a profit. And they're going to pass it on. I've never known too many businesses, Melody, that will absorb a lot before they raise prices because they can't. Our ministry, for example, we run things on donations for some things we have to offer to the ministry. If price goes up, I can absorb it for a while, and I have. But what really gets us is, of course, is postage. Postage is going up again when? October, I think it is?
It is.
Yes. So, I mean, I can absorb so much with passing on. And that's just the way it is. And you think, well, the fast food restaurants pass on, the owner of the fast food pass on the cost to us. Well, then the fast food owner has to go to the store and buy supplies, which the price is pushed on to him. So it's a vicious circle. We all pay it in the long run, don't we?
We do.
We do. And to show the people, you know, State Street, which is a business in New York City, is the latest to shutter its New York City offices. People don't want to go back to job on the workplace. They want to stay home and take a pay cut, even do it the holidays to work from home. I really can't blame for that. If you get the job done, then it looks like it'll be a happy rainbow for any of them. But the decision not to return to New York City.
Yeah, but employees shouldn't be telling the employer how to run their business.
I agree, but if they can't find workers, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
They're either going to have to can those and raise wages to bring in other people.
which they're trying to do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But this will affect 500 employees from this firm in New York City, which they offer them to move to another city if you want to Connecticut, different places. But that's, you know, 500 workers that are not going to be able to work. Maybe you want to go back to work at the office. So this is a vicious, vicious thing that has started over a pandemic that is just affecting people everywhere you turn. It truly is. And we're talking about the chip shortages. Now, folks, listen to this. This is not made up. This is a real story. What chip shortage? Inventory at leading chip makers hits record $65 billion. It makes you wonder what Melody said. Maybe perhaps this was made up to raise prices on the chips, cause shortage on cars, car prices have skyrocketed, especially used cars. I don't know. Somebody profited from it. Something odd emerged as automaker after automaker, most notably Toyota last week, announced they would throttle auto production in coming months due to historic chip shortage. According to calculations from Financial Times parent Nikkei, total inventory at the world's nine leading chip makers hit a record high of $64.7 billion at the end of June as companies quickly moved to ramp up production to alleviate a protracted shortage that has disrupted supply chain in the auto industry and beyond. Now, folks, this is back in June at a record. That's been 2 months ago when demand for chips used in high-performance computers and automobiles outpaced projections due to the coronavirus pandemic, which forced many chip makers to suspend production. In Southeast Asia, Taiwan Semiconductor, the world's largest chip maker, optimized production lines in January through June, expanding production of automotive chips during the period by 30% from a year earlier. So where's the shortage? They increased by 30%. Where's the shortage? We got $65 billion of inventory there, so to speak. Where's the shortage? Why are we still paying such premiums for a used car because they couldn't buy new cars? Was this all a scheme to make more money? Well, let's be honest, folks. It won't be the first time it's been done that. It won't be the last time. All businesses and all corporations have shady people in them. I'm not saying all but shady. I didn't say that. But a lot of them have people in them who are shady, who are greedy, will do whatever it takes to drain the people of whatever they have coming in. Amelia, this sounded to me like this was a man-made shortage. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. I don't have the proof to know whether it's man-made or not. I think it is now. I think there's reasons behind why. I just can't believe that these places couldn't manufacture enough chips and get them shipped. It just doesn't sound right. In the beginning, yes, you did have plants that were shut down because of COVID and so forth, and yes, they could have gotten behind, but you would have thought they could have covered, you know, that they would have been able to recover from just being down a couple months. It's been a year. So it sounds a little fishy to me. Why can't they produce enough? I mean, come on. So then when I hear about these supply chains being broken and I hear that these Asian countries are told to hoard everything that they have, I think that's what's going on. And, yeah, it will adjust the prices and so forth. And you can get discounts. I mean, when they're selling cars for $5,000 more than what the tag shows, I mean, come on. I mean, you're right. To some degree, they're catching up from the money that they lost during COVID. So is that what it's all about? Also,
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I know the housing prices are going through the roof. I have a family friend who sold a house and got $36,000 above what they're asking for it.
I know.
So that is quite a gift. Out in the open gift, of course, they're going to rebuy another house. They're going to buy another house, which means they'll spend it because the other house is inflated also. But $36,000 above the asking price is quite a bid on that home.
I know.
It sold within 2 days.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Sold within 2 days. So, go figure. Anyway, I don't know why the phone's ringing again, folks. I apologize. It shouldn't be ringing because it's been rolled over to the answer service, but it is what it is. Anyway, I guess you saw iron ore prices tank as China's steel output slows. You know, I never thought, but it said decline takes Wall Street by surprise after spring run to record highs. One of this year's hottest commodities is flaming out. The price of iron ore has fallen roughly 40% since mid-July on concerns about demand from China, which makes more than half the world's steel. And can you remember back in the old days when we made the steel in Pittsburgh and other places? Do you remember that?
I do.
We used to manufacture our own steel. Imagine that. America had its own supplies and took care of itself. Can you imagine that, Melody? We raised our own food. We had our own clothing. We had our own steel manufacturers. We made our own cars. We did everything in-house. Boy, that changed in our lifetime. But anyway, the downturn has dealt a blow to producing countries, notably Australia and Brazil, that are battling to protect fragile economic recoveries from outbreaks of highly contagious Delta variant of the coronavirus. The benchmark fell as low as 130.20 a metric ton on Thursday, following a 15% single-day nosedive to its lowest value since November 2020. So, also, commodities including oil and copper have been falling on worries that COVID-19 could hobble the global economy. Well, you said fuel went up over $3. Copper price, I don't know. But iron ore is a sign of industry's backbone, I guess you could say. Well, people that make the steel and the iron we need, obviously the amount is not needed. I have no idea what's going on. I just know that the demand is down. But I reiterate again that one time we supplied all of the needs we had in this country because we were a blessed country that had the ability to do it. The natural resources to do it, the know-how to do it, and we kept the work inside the country, and people pretty much prospered for a while. Things have certainly changed, have they not?
They sure have.
So it's just a sad thing to see that when a country loses its foundation of self-sufficiency, it becomes a beggar on the block. Is that pretty clear, I guess? I was going to say.
Well, yes. I mean, certainly, you know, we don't supply anything more. And again, that was all part of exporting our inflation out, too. I mean, yes, we lost jobs for the multinational corporations, the corporate welfare. I mean, it's just a sad list of affairs that we've seen transpire over the years. And it comes down to, now where do we go? Now we're at the point where they need to print till there's no tomorrow just in order to sustain the economy. Where would we be if they didn't send out how many stimulus? Where would we be if they didn't increase food stamps by 25%? Where would we be if they didn't come up with a child credit of $300 per child beginning in July? Where would this economy be without all that money?
Maybe some of them might be back to work now. I don't know.
Pardon?
some of them may be back to work.
No, it's money that wouldn't have been spent in this economy.
I know that, but I said, but then maybe the money hadn't been given so freely given. Some of them went back to work where they were working before to be able to make some money. So it proved socialism both ways. It increased the output, the spending for a while, but also depleted the workforce and made people dependent more than government, did it not?
It did. The perfect game.
Absolutely. And on top of everything else, Biden administration, now they say this because they have sanctions on Russia. I don't think so. I think Biden wants to control guns and ammunition. Biden administration bans Russian-made ammo amid shortage. Now, I have got several rounds of Russian-made ammo for the weapons I have. And I say weapons. I hate calling them weapons because I buy them to shoot with, to target practice and hunt with. So not really weapons to me. But anyway, on Friday, U.S. Department of State announced it would stop accepting new and pending permits for Russian firearms and ammunition importation for 12 months as part of a new round of sanctions against Moscow over the 2020 poisoning of Russian descendant Alexei Navalny. I don't believe that for a minute, folks. I really don't. The Department of State released the new sanctions under the Chemical, Biological Weapons Control and Warfare Elimination Act of 1991. Which reads, restrictions on the permanent imports of certain Russian firearms, new impending permit applications for permanent importation of firearms, ammunition manufactured or located in Russia will be subject to a policy of denial. In other words, if it's if you ask for a new permit, you're not going to get it. They'll honor the old ones, but they're not going to put any new ones out. What this boils down to, in my mind, as part of Biden administration to just tighten firearm supply and ammunition supplies to people because he wants to control the guns. This is a squeeze for gun-loving Americans. This is what this is all about in my mind completely. Has nothing to do with sanctions, nothing at all. This has got to be such a small amount, a minuscule amount, of what was the Russia imports to us. This can amount to a whole lot of anything that they supply to us. To me, it's a way of gun control. I have no doubt ammunition control. So there you go, Mel D. I mean, this is more pricing, folks. Ammunition prices have been going through the roof, and they're still high. Watch it go even higher. Much, much higher. Any comments on that one?
No, I agree.
So, and going real quickly here, UK factories report worst shortage of stocks on record. Workers are seeing, said British manufacturers reported the worst stock shortages on record, caused in large part by post-lockdown lack of components for the electronics industry and in plastics, according to a survey published on Monday. The Confederation British Industry Index for stock adequacy fell to the lowest since the survey began in 1977. So we're not the only ones running out of supplies, folks. UK factories are running out of supplies to production of different items in the UK. We're not the only country that's suffering from this. We're not the only country that's suffering financially. We're not the only country that's suffering under the police state COVID laws. We're not by any means the only ones doing that. We're not the only country being affected by the global reset, are we? What it all boils down to, folks, it's called global reset. It's called money control and power. That's what they want. It's all about control. And they're plainly seeing like a fish on the line. Real men, a little time. Let them fight. Let them tire themselves out. Reel them in a little further. Let them have their slack. Wear themselves out. And reel them in further. Folks, that's how it works. They've done it to us for decades. And they're doing a very good job of it right now. Anything add to that, Melody?
You know, I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. Here in Ocean City, someone caught, I think it was a blue marlin. It was a record. It weighed, I don't know how many pounds, 800, 900 pounds. But what caught my interest was the amount of time that it takes to reel those large fish in. And your example is perfect. I mean, they just realize that they have all the time in the world. Sometimes they do set dates, and dates do matter and so forth. But for the most part, you know, I do believe there's been an agenda, and they've been very competent in their time management. And they just go along and they react when we react, and they're just reeling the whole thing in. It's
just wearing us out. Wearing us out.
Yeah. They're wearing us down. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. What do you have next for us, Butch?
Well, we all know what's happening and what happened in Afghanistan is still going on. But this, that makes pay attention. Folks, there's no such thing as a void. There's no such thing as a void. Something moves in to take in up a space that's empty. When Afghanistan, China, Pakistan, and India jockey for position in Afghanistan's new great game. The Russian British empires battled over Afghanistan in the 19th century. The United States and Soviet Union in the 20th century. The Taliban takes over in this strategic landlocked nation. The new great game of Pakistan is in control, with its ally China looking to cement its grip on the region. Pakistan has deep ties with the Taliban, has been accused of supporting the Islamist group as it battled the U.S.-backed government in Kabul, charges denied by Islamabad. When the Taliban captured Kabul last week, Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan said Afghans had broken the shackles of slavery. The Taliban holds discussion to decide on its government model. Media reports have said some Pakistani officials are involved. A foreign office spokesperson in Islamabad said Pakistan wanted an inclusive political settlement in Afghanistan that ensured peace and stability in the region, but added the key role remained with the Afghans. China, with no previous involvement in Afghanistan but a stronger alliance with Pakistan, has held out an olive branch to the Taliban, enticed by the country's mineral wealth, go figure, including its large reserves of lithium, a key component for electric vehicles. China is also looking at the prospect of extra security for its narrow land route through the Karakoram Mountains into Pakistan. And then there's India, Pakistan's old enemy, which has been locked in military standoff with China along their disputed border for more than a year. India was a very key supporter of the ousted regime of Kabul, and as both Pakistan and China become key players in a Taliban-ruled Afghanistan, New Delhi's nervousness is increasing. More tensions, Melody. More tensions. A void become void for a second. Somebody stepped in and filled the void. Somebody's going to prosper from this. Obviously, Pakistan and China look to be a couple of the nations that prosper from this new regime that took over in Afghanistan at the peril of India and other nations.
Well, I mean, they would have anyway. If we wouldn't have gone in there, or if we would have went in there and left when we should have, they would have gone in there anyway.
Of course.
You know, and the thing of it is, Taliban was in there before we went in there, and they had no poppy. They had destroyed most of the poppy fields. A lot of our troops were protecting, you know, the poppy fields and everything. And I did hear that the Taliban said that that's what they were going to do. They were going to destroy the poppy fields again. So, you know, I mean, it's like, I don't know, I'm a little confused on that. I mean, I do think it was, you know, yes, Biden did a terrible job in the way he handled this. You know, he should have brought the Americans home first. But how many Afghanistans are we going to bring into the country? Are we going to relocate the whole country?
That we are doing a lot of them right now, as a matter of fact. We truly are. Plane full,
you know,
of them. I'm talking about C-130 full of them.
You know, so, no, and there's no checking. You know, is anybody being vetted?
No.
And, gee,
not.
Didn't we have a crisis of COVID over here now? So, again, it's you know, and I feel terrible. And, I mean, we should never, you know, number one, we shouldn't have gone in there. Number two, we did. So, but we should have been gone a long time ago. But we didn't. So I don't get everything. You know, hey, you know, ISIS, now all of a sudden we're back to being concerned about ISIS.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, so filthy it's a, it's a, it's a
mess.
I don't know.
It's a mess. And the Taliban has warned.
Well, it doesn't have to be a mess.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Bring our troops home and be done with it.
But it certainly is a mess. And again, I'm not going to even comment on how it's all handled because I don't know the ins and outs of that even. But I just thought, like you said, we shouldn't have been in the first place. Shouldn't be in Nam in the first place. Shouldn't have been in Korea in the first place. Shouldn't have been in a lot of places in the first place. But we were there. And we built the people up that trusted us. We're going to take care of you. We'll make sure this is all good and this is sound for you. When we leave, you'll be able to take care of yourselves. Obviously, it didn't happen. Within 11 days, the whole thing failed. So this is, and the people that trusted us are scared. And I understand why they're scared. I certainly do. So it is a mess right now. But the Taliban warned of consequences if the U.S. extends its military presence in Afghanistan beyond August 31st deadline, which is next week. You know, they said the Taliban is warned of consequences if U.S. troops in Afghanistan beyond this August 31st deadline. Hours after President Joe Biden said he would do exactly that. In fact, you can trust Biden. In an interview with Sky News on Sunday, the Taliban spokesperson Sohail Shaheen said, it's a red line. President Biden announced that on 31 August, they would withdraw all the military forces. So they extended that means they are extending occupation while there is no need for that. But I don't know if to get all the people out there or not, but then, especially Americans. I seriously doubt it. We didn't even get all the Americans out of Vietnam. Now, that is a fact, like your own folks, the way it is. I seriously doubt it. And I don't think it's going to be a big priority, at least not to the point of risking maybe some more bloodshed as far as being shot at by the Taliban while we're there getting them. So I don't know, Melody. That's just another piece of the puzzle that is confusing to all of us who are here because we can't see what's going on. We just hear different sources, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. Now we have Putin launches construction of new warships amid tensions. Now, folks, this is really coming together. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday launched the construction of nuclear submarines and other warships, part of the sweeping military modernization effort amid tensions with the West. Speaking in a video call, Putin gave orders for two nuclear submarines armed with intercontinental ballistic missiles, along with two diesel-powered submarines and two corvettes as shipyards in I can't even say the word, St. Petersburg and Kamchatka on Amur. We will continue to boost the potential of the Russian Navy to develop its bases and infrastructure arm with its state-run, state-of-the-art weapons, Putin said. A strong and sovereign Russia needs a powerful and well-balanced Navy. So what's that going to mean? I have no idea, folks. I don't know. But Putin's not the kind of guy I don't think you want to fool around with too much. I think he means what he says. So we're going to see what happens on that because tensions are increasing there. Putin's ready to protect the borders of the satellite nations that are bordering with Afghanistan. And he's warned them that there's going to be an influx of Afghan militants disguised as refugees. He's saying, we got to turn them away. There could be hundreds of thousands of these, even millions, he said, come into neighboring countries as refugees, and they may be militants. They could be terrorists. And we have to be careful with this. So I really don't know what the plans are for this, Melody. I don't know what's going to happen with this. But Putin is watching this also. And let's face it, Russia is not something to be scoffed at and mocked at. When he's concerned about the influx of militants, he's willing to put up something to try to stop it. Yet we're flying them in by the thousands right now. Like you said, we're not vetting them. We don't know what they're going to do. We have no idea. So these things should be concerning all of us because whatever happens in the Middle East always affects us for a lot of reasons. But that's one of the places. That is a place where the next war is going to, the final war is going to start. Matter of fact, one of the prophecies given us in Jeremiah is when Damascus is being destroyed. And right now Damascus is being hit by some quite a bit of fire. So we'll see. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
Yeah, it's surprising Damascus hasn't fallen yet.
Yeah, that's true.
They get hammered all the time.
They're right in the middle of it.
Yep.
Except for God's divine protection, there's no reason that we can expect to be different. And this is interesting. Trump got booed at Alabama rally after telling supporters to get vaccinated. And I want to read what he said. And I want you to listen to what he said. And I don't make fun of the guy, but he has a hard time putting a sentence together. This way he said that former President Donald Trump was booed at a rally on Saturday in Alabama after telling supporters they should get vaccinated. And you know what? I believe totally in your freedoms. I do. You got to do what you have to do, Trump said. But I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. Some boos rang out from the rally crowd, who were largely maskless. No, that's okay, he said. That's all right. You got your freedoms, Trump said, echoing rhetoric from opponents of mask and vaccine mandates. But I happen to take the vaccine. If that doesn't work, you'll be the first to know, okay? I'll call up Alabama. I'll say, hey, you know what? But the vaccine's working. But do you have your freedoms you have to keep? You have to maintain that. What did he say? All that talking, and he's definitely, that was a political answer if I ever heard one. All those words, that they didn't come together in any kind of really clear sentence. What did he say? So I took it. Think you should. Keep your freedoms. But take the shot. What?
Maybe you have to take the shot in order to keep your freedom.
I guess. I mean,
I told you during the break, I briefly saw an interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. And he talked about how he was called upon by Trump. Can't remember if it was prior to the election or while he was, you know, campaigning to investigate vaccines. And, you know, eventually Pfizer dumped $1 million into President Trump's campaign. The next thing you know, that little investigation came to a halt and he was pulled out of, you know, checking on these vaccines. And it all linked back to Fauci. You know, he's the one that controlled a lot of the information that Robert Kennedy Jr. was, using for his research and everything, and it was all shut down, and that all led back to Fauci. So, you know what? There's no one that is innocent in D.C. with big money. It's just the links are there. All you have to do is connect the dots.
That's true.
Just connect the dots, and no one is beyond, you know. So anyway, there's your link, and you know, I think a lot of people think a lot of Robert Kennedy Jr., and you know, he's done some interesting things. So, but I think he's kind of a little blackballed from the, you know, DC elite. Because he is against climate change, he is he talks out about it, and
it was very interesting. On top of everything else happening, a lot of medical staffs won't take the vaccine or getting fired or quitting. It says critical nursing shortages hit hospitals nationwide as nurses quit or are fired over COVID vaccine mandates. I don't have time to read it all, but. Nurses, this and one of them was in Houston Hospital, 150 unvaccinated nurses and hospital workers were fired, means they had a shortage of staff and they can't replace them fast enough. Folks, the hospitals are going to be turned into a third world facility also. It's happening as we speak. It really is. And I wonder if today, if I might close on the lighter side, just for the fun of it, because we ain't done it for a long time. That'd be a good idea.
Sure.
I want to say this is a conversation, okay? Conversation between a cop and a husband.
It better be funny.
Well, it always is. I'm bringing it. Gee whiz.
Okay.
A conversation between a cop and a husband. Husband, my wife is missing. She went shopping yesterday and has not come home. Officer said, how old was she? I'm not sure. Somewhere between 50 and 60. We don't do birthdays. How tall? I'm not sure. A little over 5 feet tall. How much did she weigh? Don't know. Not slim. Not really fat. Color of eyes? Sort of brown, I think. Color of hair? Changes a couple times a year. Maybe dark brown now. I can't remember. What was she wearing? Could have been pants or maybe a skirt or shorts. I don't know exactly. What kind of car did she go in? She went in my truck. What kind of truck was it? A 2017 manufactured September 16th pearl white Ram limited 4x4 6.4 in Hemi. V8 engine, Ram box bar and refrigerator option, LED lighting, backup and front camera, moose hide leather heated and cooled seats, climate controlled air conditioning. It had a custom matching white cover for the bed, WeatherTech floor mats, trailer packaged with gold hitch, sunroof, DVD with full GPS navigation, satellite radio, Cobra 75 WXST 40 channel CB radio, 6 cup holders, 3 USB ports, and 4 four power outlets. Add a special alloy wheels and off-the-road Toyo tires. It has custom retracting running boards and underglow wheel well lighting. At this point, the husband began to start to get choked up. The officer said, "Take it easy, sir. We'll find your truck." Come on now, that's a good one.
I didn't get what the cop said, but the whole thing was kind of cute.
The cop said, "Take it easy, sir. We'll find your truck."
Right.
The husband started breaking up. So I can understand that. The truck. I mean, it's all about the truck. So
it's all about the truck.
I had it. I know I got in trouble with the ladies. I know I did. Imagine that, me getting in trouble with a woman. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. But, you know, there are priorities in life, folks. And if I had a pickup truck like that, I'd be concerned about it, too. But
yeah, I know.
There are important things in life. Okay, Melody, that is it for me today. So what can I say? We've seen
a
lot of things happening. We're just about out of time. Not much longer. Getting close.
All right. Well, we're
getting
a little
close. A little bit
getting close. All righty. Well, maybe our producer Todd can find us some music. You think?
I don't know. We don't have much of time left. You want go and say something? You got a lot to say always.
1-800-375-4188. We've got some gold is moving up, silver's moving up, and we've really found a nice trading range with both gold and silver. So don't get disappointed if we have these pullbacks. Everything goes up and everything goes down. So, but the long-term trend, gold is going to be higher. And we do have some great prices. I do my comparison shopping with those people online, and my prices are a whole lot lower than many of them, than most
yes,
of them.
They are.
Probably
yes, they are.
With all of them. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Butch.
All righty.
If I got me a wealthy man,